Welcome back. Thanks for listening. So in the last segment, in the last recording I uploaded, we're talking about Eve being beguiled by the serpent and the meaning of beguiled. And wasn't too clear on it. So just, as you keep going through the Bible, you keep looking things up, and you keep learning, and you keep, parables in the Bible and teachings in the Bible keep, they kind of keep expounding on your mind. You see new things each time. I was listening to a recording by Derek Prince, and he was saying how he reads the Bible probably twice a year. And every time he learns something new, and so he's read it like thousands of times. And yeah, he's so right. I keep going over Genesis. The first two chapters of Genesis fascinate me, because everything started there, right? And so from there, everything throughout history has been affected in some way because of those curses given to Adam, Eve, and the serpent. And, well, just recently I was thinking about water for the past few days and the waters of life and how important water is. And when I looked in at Genesis chapter 1, I just realized we haven't prayed. No matter. Just realized in Genesis chapter 1, the creation. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth, and the earth was without form and void, and the darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. See that last word? Waters. So in the beginning, when everything was void and formless, water was there. Yeah, everything was void, let that sink in, and formless. Just pause for a minute. But the water was there. The water is not included in that little segment of void and formless. Water is separate from everything else. Even in this world, right? The dirt, the trees, the birds, things with legs that walk and a head, you know? But the water remains separate. Even in the beginning, before everything was made, the water was there. The Holy Spirit hovered over the waters, you know, moved upon the face of the waters. So then I started realizing, well, if the waters were there, where it says in various parts of the Bible, waters of life, the waters came out of the Garden of Eden and separated out into four major rivers. Now, where was that? I was just looking at that just before. You know, let's go forward. So the waters of life, it actually means that, you know, back in that very first chapter, the very first verse, creation comes from the waters. Everything was void and formless, everything was there, but the waters of life are needed, even in this world here, right? You need water to water the plants and grow. We need water to live. Back then, the Holy Spirit must have used those waters that the Holy Spirit hovered over and moved over to create everything. Even back then, the waters were used to create everything, which is probably why in Revelations, 1/3 of the waters are poisoned. The fresh waters of the world get poisoned. Because Lucifer knew. Now, where was those rivers? Man, to care for... There it is. The Garden of Eden. And here it is here. And a river went out of Eden of water. The garden. I went out of Eden to water the garden. And the river went out of Eden to water the garden. So the river left Eden. And from thence it was parted and became into four heads. Now that's interesting, that word, right? Four heads. It came out of Eden, separated out into four heads. So even there is a clue. Came out into four heads. So, you know, there's God and the Holy Spirit and the divine teachings from the head to the body. So God uses parables in the Bible about, you know, the body of Christ. You will be made the head and not the tail. There's various little clues through there all the time. So from the heads, and we're leading out four rivers, and it's four heads, and then Sep goes out throughout the world to feed the body from those rivers, feeding the body, the world. The world is the body for God's people to dwell upon. And those rivers, that rivers, those waters that the Holy Spirit used to aid in the creation of the world, because the water was there, separate from everything else that was void and formless, bound everything, was utilized to help grow and make everything. And even to today, when those four rivers come out into the world, that water is still being used to help build everything. And people are busy trying to find those rivers. Those rivers were there before the floods of Noah. And so they're buried. And that's why it says in Revelations that one third of the fresh waters, the rivers, will be poisoned. Because those rivers and streams come from underground, from springs. Where do you think the springs come from? Noah's flood flooded the world, and all that sediment during the flood settled and buried everything, even the rivers. But the rivers still flow and come out in the form of springs. So it's obvious that in the end of days, Lucifer knows this, and he's poisoning the freshwater springs with fluoride and what else is there? Chlorine. Those poisons are actually a byproduct of corporation manufacturing. And laws had been passed for those products that can't be dumped in the world because of all this hoo-ha about looking after the world. And you can't dump corporate manufacturing poisons. And so they put it in the water. We drink it. And then we go to the loo and it comes out filtered. The human body is acting as a filter. That's why it's important to have filtered water. In one of my episodes, I'm talking about an angel coming down the driveway, and I didn't recognize Jesus at the time, and I didn't realize what was going on at the time, but go back and listen to it. I think I called it seeing Jesus for the second time. And the angel was saying it was important to have filtered water. At the time, I didn't think much of it. Nowadays, it's, well, now we know better. No. And I was thinking about water and for the past few days, and just brought to mind I should look it up. And I realized, wow, yeah, I put two and two together. Way back, Holy Spirit was telling me to read Genesis and Revelations and mesh the two together. And it's making a little bit more sense these days. Now, the more I go over it, the more I see. And this is just one part of it. That, you know, in the end of days, one third of the waters will be poisoned. And it makes sense that those rivers coming out into the world from Eden into the rest of the world split off into four major rivers from the head. It says split into four heads. Those four heads go to send the instructions down to the rest of the body. And so the waters of life come out of Eden. And obviously on a microscopic level, on a really small, I don't know what you can call it, genetic level, our genes need that living water. And there must be something in that living water that helps, well, obviously, it helps everything grow and helps our bodies in some way or another. But corporations poisoning that water with fluoride. And, well, yeah, it's written, it's prophesied in Revelations that this would happen. But we haven't sort of put two and two together that those springs actually come from one of those four rivers, and it's being poisoned before it gets to our house. And so filtered water, put on a fluoride filter out all that fluoride and all that crap, and hopefully we get left with a larger portion of good water still to help us. And thanks to Noah's flood, God's flood, in the time of Noah, those rivers are buried, but they still come up through the form of springs. But unfortunately, Lucifer's poisoning those waters, which brings me to another point that I was thinking about today. Those springs being poisoned by corporation on these end of days, when you trace back all the corporations, all the businesses, and keep going back and back and back and tracing back who owns what. Well, the two largest entities in the world, business entities, is called Vanguard and BlackRock. And why do you think they're called Vanguard and BlackRock? Well, Vanguard is it's like a proceeding of royalty, right? There's always something that precedes royalty, a king, like a trumpet or trumpet sounds or an angel precedes Jesus, that sort of thing. So Vanguard is that, BlackRock. I'm not going to bother. You look it up, okay? Vanguard and BlackRock work together. Now, Jesus is the rock. God is the rock, our foundation on which we build our house, the cornerstone of our belief, the rock we rely upon. And so, obviously, the devil's mimicking that and calling himself the Black Rock. So the Black Rock is the biggest company in the world that owns everything. And Vanguard is like the right hand to the Black Rock. They both control the world. And they are the ones poisoning, well, there's various other companies that they own that go around poisoning 1/3 of fresh waters of the world right now. People say, we're not in the end of days. Oh, hang on, you just put two and two together, everything together. 1/3 of the waters are currently being poisoned. Fresh water springs and streams are being poisoned. You turn on your tap, you wonder why you're going to the doctor all the time. Put a filter on. So that was just interesting about the waters and the beguiling of Eve. I was going to talk a bit about that, but I figured, no, we'll just go on the waters and talk about the waters and how in Genesis, the fresh water streams coming out of Eden, splitting into the four major rivers going out throughout the world, is linked to Revelations and how the waters were there in the beginning, which makes it extremely important. So I just thought maybe we should just illuminate that a little bit. Yeah, and also heard a sermon by Derek Prince today about, like, I thought that Eve eating of the fruit, I thought that the serpent committed the first sin, but it wasn't. It was the second. It was actually Adam. And yeah, Derek Prince, yeah, he made a good point. He said it pretty well. When God placed Adam in the Garden of Eden, he was charged with keeping. Here it is here. Verse 15 of chapter 2. And the Lord God took the man and put him into the Garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat. And it stops there. Oh yeah, but the tree of knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat of it. Further on, it actually talked about how there's a tree of life in the midst of the garden and the tree of knowledge of good and evil. There were actually two. People thought that the tree of life and the tree of good and knowledge were one and the same, and well, actually it's not. There's two. There's the tree of life in the Garden of Eden and the tree of knowledge of good and evil. It even speaks of various trees in the New Jerusalem that are healing trees. The leaves have this medicinal purpose. But anyway, that's another talk. So the command was to dress and keep. So tend to dress it, tend to the trees and the lands and the plants, dress them, tend to them, and keep the garden. And Derek Prince made a good point. A keep. Again, medieval things. A keep, a fortress. He was to keep it. He was to fortify the garden. He was to protect it and everything in it. Now that included Eve. So the serpent got in somehow. And I don't know what Adam was doing. His wife was off talking with the serpent, and Adam was off doing something. And like I mentioned in the last recording, Beguiled, wife and I found some translations in different forms of languages and different language. You look in different languages and how beguiled is translated from, say, like Greek and from Hebrew and Aramaic. And you look at the translations. Well, some of it actually says, what was the word again? Enchanted. Charmed. So, tricked in a charming way to cause a person to be submissive, to cause a person to do something. And, well, I've seen shapeshifters, like I mentioned in my last one. And I really do think that he took Adam's form. So she was submissive to him. I really do think, now I might be wrong, I don't know, don't take this as scripture, but I do think that the serpent took Adam's form, and because of its abilities to change someone's memories, to cause someone to, Nakash have these abilities, it's documented in Strong's, and by various other cultures that have encountered Nakash, it's documented that they have the ability to cause someone to freeze. I've experienced it myself firsthand. I could testify to it firsthand. I've actually been there, done that, read that book, ate that cake, drank that drink. I was there. It happened to me. And so I think that Nakash done something to Adam. Adam actually probably tried to do his job and keep the garden, fortify it, and failed. Poor guy. And he took Adam's form and beguiled Eve. And the result was Cain, I think. Because of the Nakash abilities, I think she just forgot the second part. I think that's how it played out. I'm not going to preach that one too much. I'm not going to emphasize that one too much or say that I'm 100% right, because I might not be. You know, I wasn't there. But I reckon it's probably what happened. And it could have been written somewhere. Like Moses did write Genesis under the guidance of the Almighty, telling him stuff. And it could have been written, and it could have been left out by the papacy when the Bible was put together. They left out a lot of other books, you know, like the Enoch. And it could have been left out on purpose. And the Bible is a Holy Spirit-inspired book. It is a God-led inspired book, and it's probably left out for good reason. And we're probably supposed to piece it together ourselves. Otherwise, why else do we seek God fervently and we search out the scriptures? And we need the Holy Spirit to help us and guide us through all these things. And we are supposed to act as a greater body to teach each other and help each other through things. And if it was easy, if it was all written there and it was easy to find, well, we wouldn't meet the standard, would we? It's meant to be hard. Life's meant to be a challenge. So anyway, that's my take on it. I'm thinking that's probably what happened. And I'm thinking that's probably what happened to the four rivers. The archaeologists in the world has been looking for these four rivers. I reckon they're buried under all the silt that settled after the flood. I reckon if archaeologists were to trace back springs and somehow scan springs, that they'd probably find where they lead to. Maybe. I know God's pretty onto it. They might not find it. But they might. Anyway, better close. I think we'll just say the Our Father's prayer this time, eh? It's closing. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. Actually, we better do Psalms 23 as well, eh? Let's keep the habit going. Well, we've kind of stuffed that habit. Right, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I shall fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Amen.